Welcome to
A Blue Room Podcast,
where a husband and wife duo combine their love of history, pop culture, and the latest drama to bring you a funny, informative, and intriguing podcast. Welcome to our Blue Room.
All right, another week down.
1 week closer to summer.
Yeah, we had our first day of spring on Thursday.
Yeah, how was that for you?
It changed everything, honestly.
Changed your outlook on life.
Yeah. Well, now that it doesn't get dark at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon anymore.
That is super, super nice. We can go on evening walks like at 7 and the light is still out.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
I go on walks. Stop it.
I'm saying we.
We do it together. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So just try to make it one day at a time. My musical goes on this week. He starts soccer this week. So kind of a rush to the end of the year, but about 8 weeks left of school.
Yeah. Well, anytime you're busy, it makes it go faster.
I think that too. But then I'm a little bit worried about myself after musical's over this week, because then it's like less to do. But, you know, we'll make it work.
I don't think anyone's ever complained about having less to do.
I don't know. I just get too much. What is the world? Idle something is the devil's playground, or I don't know.
Yeah, what it is. Idle time. I don't mind, I think, is the expression.
Yes. But, yeah. So, we have a pop culture recap for y'all. The biggest five-ish stories of last week and going into this week.
Okay.
And, he has no idea what I'm about to talk about, but that's okay. We love it.
But I have the insight.
He does have the insight. That's true. This first one you're not going to care about, but it interests me.
Okay.
So
I'm just going to go to the bathroom real fast.
Oh, my gosh. So Taylor Swift hypes up Selena Gomez's new album in return to Instagram. So if you don't know, Taylor Swift takes long bouts of sabbatical time from social media. And why not? Because she doesn't have to be on social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote on her Instagram story, she posted their Spotify song, I Said I Love You First. It's Selena Gomez and her fiance, Benny Blanco, who we can talk about in a second. But she said, I love this album so much. Oh my God. All in all caps. And then she linked to the album. The reason I put this as the first story is because I feel like you have thoughts about Benny Blanco. And so do I.
I got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
I feel bad for Selena Gomez, honestly. I guess he really loves her.
I bet he loves her, for sure.
Well, I know, she's beautiful, but I just wonder what's going on with him. And maybe that's mean of me to say, I don't know. I feel like they're such the odd couple, is my thing. And then I listened to their song. Have you heard it?
I haven't heard any of their songs.
Yeah, so it's just not good. It's not Selena.
Is it like super poppy? Or is it like
no,
ballady?
It's like ballady. I mean, it sounds like her, but I just feel like I'm really interested to hear this album. Let's see. I'm not sure when. Is the whole album released?
It's just crazy to me because like Benny Blanco, obviously kind of, he's got a very unique look, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that he is like a musical, I don't want to say genius because his songs aren't super in depth, but I mean, he wrote the majority of songs and like the popular songs in 2010s, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look up his songs, like I'm looking right now, a lot of Katy Perry songs. You have California Girls, Firework. He wrote some Maroon 5 songs, Moves Like Jagger, Payphone, written for Justin Bieber. Like he has a lot of stuff. And it's just like crazy because you don't realize these songwriters that are behind all this music, but he's...
I didn't know he worked with Katy Perry, so I...
Oh, yeah,
I
guess he's this makes a lot of sense. Katy Perry songs.
Okay, this makes more sense to me because I thought he was just a random. Like, I had no idea
no,
who he was.
Like I said, I'm looking through right now. I mean, he's got songs with Rihanna. He's... Diamonds by Rihanna is by him.
Wow.
He has Ed Sheeran songs. Like, he's in a lot of stuff.
Okay, well, then this makes more sense to me. Correction, I thought the album wasn't out yet. It was released March 21st. So I guess we can circle back to this once I listen to the album and we can talk.
So obviously it's gotten a lot of publicity.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm really in... I'm not the target demographic anymore. Like, I'm not really sure... I don't know. The thing that's sad about this album right now is that the top four articles and stories about it right now is Taylor Swift breaking her Instagram hiatus to praise the album. So it's not even about the album itself.
I just don't really know the path that Selena Gomez is on. Like,
She's in makeup. She's acting with old men. She's
singing.
I'm not sure what it is either.
Like, she doesn't... You can do that when you're on Disney.
Yeah.
When you're on Disney, they'll pay for you to have an album and still act. But, like, I feel like she's spread really thin right now. And I just don't really know what she wants her career to be.
I agree.
Because, I mean, I'll say it. I don't think she's, like, the best singer.
No, she's definitely not. But it's so funny because she, for a while, I don't know if it's still true, she had the most followers on Instagram. And she had all these music records. Like, that Taylor Swift, I think, has busted now and beat, but, like...
I think Ronaldo's also the most followed person now.
Yeah. But she is just so popular, and this is going to sound so bad, but I guess I'll say it. She's so popular for reasons that kind of evade me. Like, I'm not really sure why. I really love her.
But, like, who are her fans?
That's what I want to know. I've never met someone who's like, Selena Gomez is my number one. Like, I've met plenty of people who are like, Taylor Swift's my number one.
Yeah.
Even, like... Katy Perry's my number one. Pink's my number one. Like, I've heard that before, but I've never really heard Selena Gomez is my number one. So I just...
So I'm guessing she's getting a lot of probably Taylor Swift overflow.
Yeah. Like, or like we hear a lot now about Sabrina Carpenter or Chapel or Chap Gonna Chap. So, like,
yeah,
you know,
she definitely just seems like the number two to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like, probably a lot of overlap in their fans, but I just don't know, like, why she had this semi like cult following. Like, it doesn't and I was her demographic. Like, I watched Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wizards of Waverly Place is amazing.
Yeah, but I don't know, as an adult, I mean, I get I'm not a woman, so probably takes a little bit out of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, Taylor Swift broke her Instagram hiatus.
Great. I'm happy for her.
Story number two, are we ready?
Okay.
A walk-in cooler ignited at the Orlando Resort, EW has learned, Disney World. English performer Peter Noon was on stage singing at the park and exclaimed mid-song that France is on fire.
A lot of double meanings in that.
Yeah. Have you seen the video?
I have. The black smoke piling out.
It freaks me out because I know they're going to get it all fixed by then, but we're going to be there at the end of May. And I'm kind of like, I don't want any of this happening.
Well, especially... it wasn't like the park was on fire. It was a single, like, thing.
No, I know that, but
It was like the golf ball was, like, on fire and it was about to roll away.
I know that. A lot is already going to be on, under construction anyway. So I don't want any of this stuff going on, but I'm just confused.
I'm sure the
walk-in cooler.
I'm sure the walk-in cooler will be fixed by the time we get to
Disney.
But what
is a walk-in cooler? Is it like a fridge?
It's a freezer, like a walk-in fridge.
How does it ignite? Is it ignited?
Well, there's electricity
inside a backstage area. The cooler was located in Epcot's France area, specifically in an employees-only section, not accessible to guests.
Actually, you might get this. So there's a lot of electrical that goes with the walk-in cooler. Rats are known to chew on the wires that can cause electrical fires. And it happened in France.
So Remy
purposely set France on fire. That way he could get out of his ride. He's like in an eternal...
But look, oh my gosh, how funny. So the local news reported that riders were evacuated from Remy's Ratatouille adventure during the blaze.
Yeah, he probably needed a break.
He's an overworked rat.
Yeah, these rats are overworked at Disney.
So they walked on strike.
All they do is run around all day on that Remy's Rat Palooza or whatever it's called.
So I guess...
Which we can get into. Who thought it'd be a good idea to have a ride all about rats?
Are you going to go on that ride with me?
I don't know. Probably not.
What?
I mean, I probably will. I'm not a big fan of rats.
So he's really understating that. He's actually deathly afraid of rats. Like, if a rat was here right now, I would have to take care of it. Like, he couldn't do it.
I'm just saying, who was like, hey, I got a great idea for a ride. Let's shrink everyone to a rat, everyone's favorite animal, and let's have them run around in a kitchen. Doesn't that sound fun?
You're crazy. That's just not...
Here's the thing, it's a very beautiful movie, but it's a really stupid...
I don't think that I've seen, like, the full movie ever. I always got bored in it.
It's a very stupid concept.
Yeah.
Last thing I want is a rat cooking my food. Plus,
I don't think anyone wants a rat cooking their food.
I'll say this really quickly. The whole premise of Ratatouille is kind of busted. Rats only live like 2 to 3 years. So why would they make a rat the head chef of a restaurant?
Well, because it's a cartoon. And
that's
also
a terrible investment.
If rats only live 2 to 3 years, then why are you so scared of them?
You can do a lot in 2 to 3 years.
I guess that's true.
You can cause a lot of mayhem.
So then he could be the head chef for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a terrible investment. Plus, he wasn't like a baby. He was already like a...
Yeah, he's really annoying in my Disney Dreamlight Valley game. I really do not enjoy
Remy
in that because I always run him over on accident.
He's always just running around.
Yep.
Too much rat business.
Well, and then fun fact, it's not that fun of a fact, but Epcot Fire isn't the first major blaze at a Disney Parks property. In recent years, the Maleficent Dragon figure at California's Disneyland Park also caught fire during a Fantasmic show in early 2023. So that led to the removal of the pyrotechnic effect later that year. Yeah.
I mean, fires are going to happen.
I feel like in a place like Disney where they're doing all these special effects, where there's so much going on, there's so much electricity, so many people, fires are just kind of...
Yeah, maybe there was like a show in the walk-in cooler and they accidentally just got out of
control. It was an employees only section.
They're entertaining themselves.
Oh, Lord knows they need it. I feel so bad for them.
I think they're called cast members, by the way.
They are.
Not employees.
Yes, they are called cast members.
I don't want to get copyright striked by the union.
What in the world?
I don't want to get a letter from the mouse. From Mr. Mouse.
Oh my gosh. We'll do an episode soon about what our plans are going to be for Disney. That'll be fun and how we've planned everything. So we should do that at some point. That would be fun.
Maybe.
Are you ready for our third story?
Okay.
Oh, this one's kind of sad, but we're going to talk about it because I like him. So Sean Lowe is the bachelor. He had to rehome his rescue dog after being attacked twice in 2 days. Have you heard about this?
Sean Lowe, Dallas, Texas native.
Yes. And I follow his sister, Mix and Match Mama. Love her. I've followed her for years. You know my monster mix that I make?
Mix and Match Mama.
Yeah. Do you know the monster mix that I make for Halloween?
The Chex Mix and stuff.
Yeah, that's one of her recipes. I freaking love her. They all live in like McKinney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love this family. Anyway, I feel awful.
Anyways, so, back to the dog attacks.
Yeah, so I follow Sean on Instagram. And him and, is it Catherine?
Yes.
They were making a video and it looked very serious. And I was like, oh no, are they getting a divorce? No, his arms look totally beat up. And so his rescue dog, who's a boxer, who we'll talk about boxers in a second, named Moose, attacked him at a barbecue. So they were at the Lowe household and...
They were at Lowe's? Not that's, sponsored.
That's your dream place to be. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Lowe's, do you want to sponsor us? It would be his dream.
We've had to buy... Yeah, never mind. And so we've had to buy a lot from Lowe's. So.
Yeah, Lowe's is like our go-to spot. Anyway.
For better home improvement. I don't know.
Stop. They're not paying us.
I don't know if that's our tagline or not.
So
anyways, back to the dog tag.
Yeah, stop saying that. So his wife was out with the kids while Lowe was barbecuing with friends at the house. But then the smoke from the barbecue drifted into the house and the fire alarm went off. So he went in with a dish towel and was kind of like trying to get the smoke away and to fan the smoke away. The dog started freaking out and turned aggressive and Lowe gave him a stern no. And it was right about that moment where he showed his teeth and just attacked him. So I think he attacked him for like 2 to 3 minutes before his friends knew what was happening. And he said that he was ripping into the flesh of his arm. His arm was like splouting blood. So he thought that he like tore through an artery. He tried to get Moose off of him until his friends came in to help and added that his arm was bleeding severely. He goes to the ER and they stitch him up. And all while this is happening, he's like, I can't believe that just happened with my dog. So he shows in the video his arm and it's just lined with stitches. So sad. And what's so sad is that his kids begged for a dog just after this Christmas. So they got it this Christmas, which was so sad. And so his parents came to pick up the kids the day after the attack. And at one point when the backyard doors were blown open by the wind, Moose lunges at him again the next day. And so he said, quote, this dog is so strong. He's so explosive, but I'm able to wrestle him to the ground. I've got a hold of his collar, but I know that he's ripped my arm open. And I just know, like, I'm fighting for my life here. I feel like if this dog gets up, he's going to kill me. which is just crazy. Like, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And so Lowe's family calls. It took everything in him to pin Moose down. So this time Lowe's family calls the police and he requires stitches once again in the other arm. He shows both of his arms in the video and it's like heavily cut and bruised. He says that he doesn't blame Moose for the situation.
What?
Yeah, he says it says, quote, "It wasn't Moose's fault. He, I think it's clear, experienced a lot of trauma before we got him and had something neurologically wrong with him where it just flipped a switch. And he turned into an absolute killer," which was so weird. So he is asking that everyone be understanding. They're torn up about it. "We miss our dog. As weird as that sounds, he was a really, really good dog and we miss him." So,
And people are so judgmental
when it comes to him. They rehomed him.
But even that, people get so like,
"Well, then you shouldn't have had a dog."
Yeah. You shouldn't have gotten the dog in the first place.
I have such a different look on that now. Like, we had to deal with a dog situation and like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so hard.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be too morbid, but I'm like, if the dog is that violent, even if it's not 90% of the time or mm-hmm. whatever, a dog that can be that violent and shows it, I don't know how you rehab a dog like that.
I know.
I mean, it's not like Sean Lowe had him chained to the backyard and was like abusing him. Like, you know, pretty normal family. And if the dog can't be trusted in a household, I mean, that...
Mm-hmm.
That changes a lot. I mean, that's pretty terrifying.
I know. I feel bad for them and we'll be praying for them because I know that how hard that is and how scary it is for your dog. It's your dog mm-hmm. to attack you not once, but twice.
Yeah. When you have kids in the house, they have young kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think you already said this, but dogs come before or not, no, dogs come after humans.
Yeah.
You know
what 100%. I mean?
Like, that's just what it has to be.
The safety of people has to come before a dog.
And I think in our society, sometimes people have it backwards.
Yeah.
Which is a little sad. Okay. Fourth story. We have kind of one and a half more.
Oh, okay.
You can do it. So Amanda Seyfried reflects on singing with Cynthia Erivo during her Wicked audition.
Is it Seyfried or Seyfried?
I don't know.
Seyfried?
That's how it's spelled. She went on in an interview on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, and she reflected what she learned after auditioning for the role of Glinda. This interview kind of seems sad to me. She said that she was really proud of her audition, but everything happens for a reason. She knew the movie was going to happen, and she was like, "I have to go for this." Now, in my opinion, she seems a little old, but she Definitely. Really looks the part. Like, that, like she looks how... But like her Mamma Mia aged Amanda looks the part to me, you know, like when she was in Mamma Mia. But she said last summer while I was playing Elizabeth on The Dropout, which I guess, is that a show?
No idea.
I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah, I think, I mean.
Oh, it's a miniseries.
She's not of the age range.
She's just a little bit older now, I think, right? Like, how old is she?
I mean, I bet she's 40 something.
I mean, well, I wonder how old
actresses are, or really actors are always older.
She's 39.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's right on the cusp. But so she was playing this very demanding role. And on the weekends, she was auditioning in person to play Glinda in the movie version of Wicked because I wanted it that much. I literally bent over backwards while playing the hardest role of my life. But I think it taught me how far I've come as a singer, which I really wanted to prove. Because ever since Les Mis, I was like, I need to be better. I need to do better. Yeah, she got a lot of hate in Les Mis. Mm. So whatever comes next in terms of musicals, I'm finally prepared. So I feel bad for her because I think she really wanted this part. And Cynthia Erivo's older as well, but I feel like Elphaba's allowed to be older while Glinda's supposed to be kind of younger.
I mean, the green paint is going to hide
age
a little bit.
Yeah. But
I don't know. There was no way she could have done that.
I feel like that too. I just felt bad for her in this moment because you could tell how much she really wanted it. And she also recalled the audition process being a very long process, but thought the film turned out fantastic. It's an extravaganza, which is what... Ariana does really well, and my kids have been playing the soundtrack nonstop, so I bet that's like a knife to the heart.
Well, that's the thing though, is like, could you imagine this press tour with Cynthia and Amanda Seyfried?
Oh, no way.
Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And also, this movie was supposed to be big and it was big, mm-hmm. it couldn't, it had to be perfect. I'm not saying that Ariana Grande was perfect, but.
But she was pretty near to that.
But it wasn't, they didn't have time to have Amanda Seyfried try to figure it out. And maybe it does. You got to add auto-tune. Like,
yeah.
It needed to be as close to the theater production as possible.
Yeah. And like, and I think it was. And she said, we listen to Defying Gravity every day. It's funny though, like I also got to sing with Cynthia and like that was a moment in itself. So this is someone who I feel like didn't get the part, is trying to let it go. I totally identify with that and understand that for her. But I just don't know if I would have gone on a podcast to say that.
It seems very much like, well, you know, I was also auditioning.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well.
And that's the thing, but I'm excited. If you guys don't know, it's on, Wicked is now on Peacock. You can watch it. There's also a sing-along version, unfortunately for my husband, but fortunately for me. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Performance at the Stopper household.
I think I'm busy that night.
Oh, get a grip.
I think that's the night I'm going to do that thing.
Oh, whatever. You're going to be with me.
What the heck?
Okay, ready for our last story? And then we'll do a little recap.
Okay.
Ready?
Sure.
Disney's Snow White opens with a lackluster $43 million amid controversies and poor reviews. And I'm trying not to smile.
Surprised it was $43
million. That was more than I thought, too.
But I mean, with a budget of $250, you're really playing from behind.
That's what I'm saying. So Yahoo Entertainment says it was more of a ho-hum than a hi-ho at Ooh. The box office this weekend.
Zinger.
As Walt Disney Company's latest live-action remake Snow White arrives in theaters. So my thing is this, I don't want to get political. I don't want to, I just don't want to get into it. But when you are playing a princess role, you better in every single interview say how grateful you are and say how excited you are to be playing the role.
Which
she did not do.
And
where's her PR training?
And speaking from the last story, it's the complete opposite of what Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande did.
Exactly.
They were so thankful, appreciative and like happy to be in that position.
Exactly. And are there issues with Wicked? Sure, whatever. I'm sure people, especially our culture now, could find issues with Wicked and could find things they don't like or could find things to be offended about. But they don't care about that. They were very grateful. They knew how lucky they were to be there. And even though their interviews were really freaking weird sometimes, I enjoyed watching them because of how happy they were to just be in the room.
Yeah.
Whereas this girl,
Rachel Zegler,
she is just a brat.
Yeah, she was not happy to play the role.
Yeah, then don't play the role then. Like, don't do it. And then you mean to tell me Gal Gadot is supposed to be the evil queen who Snow White is prettier than when Gal Gadot's like a freaking model? Give me a break.
It's weird to me because Rachel Zegler was really on like an uphill swing. Mm-hmm. Especially after the Hunger Games movie and stuff like that, which she was good in. We liked that movie. Yep. To then now kind of like tank your career. It's like, man, like, that's not how this is supposed to go.
I mean, oh my gosh, listen to this too. They were expected to haul in $45 million to $55 million, only got $43 million. It cost an estimated $250 million to make before marketing expenses. The movie grossed $44 million overseas for a total global debut of $87 million. This is a disaster for Disney. An absolute disaster. And I just wonder when they're going to learn.
Well, I mean, the new live-action Lilo and Stitch is coming out.
That looks good.
And it looks good. I think that is going to be a big boost for them. This is one where it's like, man, you got to swallow a lot of money.
Well, and they've had to swallow a lot of embarrassment. Like, I saw a post just this morning of a Disney Facebook page saying, like, the reviews are in and Snow White is great. There was 44,000 reactions, and guess what every single reaction was?
The angry face?
No, the laughing reaction.
Oh, yeah.
There was not any other reaction. It was just the laughing reaction.
Yeah, I think on IMDb, it was at like 2.8 or something.
Yeah, 2.8 out of 10. It's just a disaster. And then this is even worse. I didn't even see Dumbo in 2019. Tim Burton's reimagining of Dumbo.
Whoa.
Dumbo grossed $353 million worldwide.
Total, though, I mean...
No, but they only got $87 million.
In the first weekend.
Yeah.
There's time, but that's a tough one. I mean, this is supposed to be your biggest weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with how fast they put stuff on streaming now. I mean, it's going to be in the theaters for a month. before it goes to Disney Plus, I bet. I mean, they don't keep movies in theaters for very long nowadays.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
well.
I mean, I don't know. When your two lead actresses keep, like, being controversial, like, unfortunately, when you're releasing a movie, especially a Disney movie, you have to be squeaky clean.
Squeak, yep.
And you exactly. have to smile and wave. And that's just, and I don't think the two leads get along either. And it's just funny. So I do hope Lilo and Stitch helps them, because I'll be going to see that. That little girl is adorable, perfectly cast.
Mm-hmm.
And so
CGI is great. It looks like Stitch. It doesn't look like a, they didn't try to like overly realistic.
Mm-hmm.
What am I trying to say? Make him overly realistic.
Or they didn't, he's not too CGI. He's not like Sonic the Hedgehog looking, but I think he looks just real enough. Like, he yeah, looks fine.
But yeah. He doesn't look like a human.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like Sonic did.
Yeah. And then, okay, here's a little bit more fun facts and then we can move on. The 2017 Beauty and the Beast grossed more than $1 billion worldwide, but that's just because Beauty and the Beast is the most popular Disney movie. It was a horrible remake in my opinion, but anyway.
I liked it.
Oh, goodness. As did 2010's Alice in Wonderland, 2019's The Lion King, and 2019's Aladdin. So all of these other ones crossed the billion threshold. So I guess we'll keep an eye on this one, but there's just no way.
It's crazy how those made that much when they're not really
liked.
Oh, they're
just not my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But those are all the big names, though. The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Like, no one likes Snow White anyway.
Yeah, Snow White's already kind of a
tough sell.
Yeah, a little too dated.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a live-action Bambi, that'd be the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be...
That'd be awful. They better not do that.
Because Bambi's already not a great movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good for the time, but you it's watch it sad. You watch it in 2025, it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's too sad for me. Okay, well, 1923 recap, and then I thought we would talk about Righteous Gemstones, like, it's changed our life.
I'll be honest, we've liked the season of 1923 to a degree, like, it's very intense. I don't even remember what happened last week.
I don't either. It's just too upsetting. Like, Alex gets beat up in the bathroom.
Yep.
And I was thankful because, not that she got beat up, but I was thankful it wasn't anything worse. I was truly ready to see something I didn't want to see. Her money got stolen, but she made it on the train, and then that's the last we saw of her. Spencer gets roped into the cops. And he has to basically be part of a sting operation. And then that one cop handcuffs him, but then he escapes. So I'm thankful for that. But where did we leave him? Oh, he had to beat up those people on the train, which was insane.
Yeah, the hobos.
I'm like, can Spencer, like, please catch a break? Like, I'm really stressed. And then all of our people back in Montana are just struggling. Like, I'm sick of the struggle. Like, I know that's part of it. But I'm sick of the struggle. I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of what the whole show is.
I know, but can't we just get one reunion? Can we get one win? And then when they end the episode with, what is her name? The Native American girl.
Oh, Rain Waters. Grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just tough because her storyline is moving so slowly. So, like, let's start with her. Let's not end with her.
Yeah.
That's my biggest critique.
Well, here's the saddest thing. There's only going to be 8 episodes. Of 1923, so we're halfway through the season.
Wait, we're on episode 5 now.
Yep.
Oh, no! So nothing's gonna get done. You might be right. I might have to read it a week.
I told you. I said a few weeks ago that I don't even know if we see Alex and Spencer together this season. And it's kind of seeming like it.
Oh, I'm gonna be pissed. But yeah. I bet we see them see each other in the last moment of the last episode, and then it fades to black.
Yeah. They get renewed for that season 3, and then...
Yeah, that'll piss me off. Yeah. Okay.
Last thing really quick.
Uh-huh. Oh.
About?
Righteous Gemstones. Okay, so Righteous Gemstones is a HBO original, and we had no idea what we were getting into, and it is the funniest show I have seen in so long. Like, we are laughing out loud.
Yeah, I mean, Danny McBride, if you've seen his stuff, he's the same guy in everything. I mean,
I've never heard of him before, and then I watched him, and then I saw him in something like random, and I was like, he's just playing the same character. It's very crude, but it's like witty and smart and quick. It's basically making fun of like mega churches. And it's really funny, and it takes us behind the scenes of like a mega church family that's kind of corrupt, and like, it's just goofy and silly. And the first 3 seasons, so good. Now, the last season is out.
The season four that we're on now is not, not great. I feel like it's kind of gone downhill.
There's only been two episodes. So we're excited because we get to recap now the final season. This is the final season. But what's odd to me is we finished season three, and the last episode of season three, to me, was where the show should have stopped.
It seems like
they thought it was.
Exactly. It was like very recappy, and everyone had got a happy ending. And now this season four, it's like they're kind of grasping at straws about what the new issue is.
Yep. I agree.
But
so, funny show, not for children.
Yes, not for children at all.
Do not watch it if you are a child. Yeah. But we'll recap that probably next week. I'm guessing there's going to be like 8 to 9 episodes. And there's two out. And there's a new one tonight.
They're only 30-minute episodes, so they go super fast, which is nice because we got caught up really quick. But also,
well, we thought season four was already like way released. But nope, they just started releasing. So we're back to waiting for one episode a week. Back in those Game of Thrones days.
I was going to say, Netflix has spoiled us so much with releasing entire
and Hulu,
seasons.
Really.
Yeah. Because now having to wait for a week, you really criticize episodes more where it's like, God, that was a terrible episode. Nothing happened. It's like, well, it probably would have been fine if you were binge watching, but.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
See you.
Bye.